In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's a fairly empty church. I took permission to take my mask off just for the sermon. And a sad day in some ways, not have in-person worship, but I love the phrase of the church. There's no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. And Christians have proved that to be true throughout 20 centuries of Christianity. And we hold that to be true today. The spirit of Christ's love, and we come to us, we hold hands as a parish through technology and through one another. So welcome. And our reopening committee meets today at 12:30. We will come up with some guidelines for what will happen in the Sundays to follow in Advent, our Christmas services, and annual meeting. So welcome to the season of Advent, and welcome to a new ecclesiastical year. The season of Advent, as we know, consists of the 4 weeks leading up to the 12-day feast of Christmas. And Advent is not what it sometimes seems to be. It is not merely a sentimental prelude to Christmas. It is a rich season, layered with theological meaning, rich with liturgical beauty. Some of the most beautiful music ever composed for the church has been composed for this season. Some of the most beautiful poetry, sermons, and writings have been written for this season, each Sunday with its own theme and message. And the job of Advent is to do one thing, to make us hungry for the things of God. Hunger is what leads us to food. When we think about our physical body, food is so important. If without food we die, without enough food we suffer, with the wrong food we are weak. We cannot live without food. It is what gives us life. I think that's why Jesus spoke about hunger and food over and over again. If I have enough food and another human being is hungry, then I have to share my food with that. There's no more horrific thing than for a human being to die or to suffer because of lack of food. And it is the sensation of hunger that leads us to food. And if without the sensation of hunger, it would be impossible to eat. It would be a torturous thing. Have you ever known someone who has been seriously ill or taking harsh medicine and they lose the sensation of hunger? For that person, it becomes an impossibility to eat. It becomes a torture. And no amount of force, no amount of debate, no amount of cajoling can make them eat. How wrong sometimes we are when we say to these people, just eat. Just eat. Just put the food in your mouth, chew, and swallow. You're wasting away to nothing. All that does is to add to their harm and their torture. How important the sensation of hunger. And that's what Advent is all about, is to make us hungry for the things of God, to make us want them, or at least to make us want to want them. And for this, we have 3 great tutors that belong specifically to the season throughout these 4 weeks. Isaiah from the Old Testament, John the Baptist, and the Blessed Mother of God, Mary. And through their words and their teaching, we become hungry to know the things of God. And we know that spiritually that is true. Without hunger, how can we know the things of God? And all the preaching, and all the waving of my hand, and all the debate, and all the force will not make someone know the things of God if they themselves are not hungry for the things of God. And that's what Advent is all about, to make us hungry. Such that when it comes time for the Christmas feast, we will be hungry to see the things in the mass mystery that day. John the Baptist, I think, is the icon for someone who made people hungry in his day. And we'll be talking about John the Baptist for the next 2 Sundays. He preached as a forerunner of Jesus. Difficult, I think sometimes harsh words in the wilderness. But we are told that people entered the cities and towns to run into the very difficult Judean countryside to hear John the Baptist. Why? Because his words of authenticity, his words of truth made them hungry to know the things of God, spiritually hungry. Such that when Jesus came on the scene, they could hear his words, listen to his teachings, understand his miracles, because they were hungry, they wanted. And if we are faithful to the season of Advent, as a pastor, I ask everyone, whether it's through virtual means or through in-person, if that's possible, to stay faithful to the attendance of the Advent Sunday. That when we hear Isaiah and John the Baptist and the Blessed Mother, that come Christmas Day, when we make that procession with a bambino, the baby, and great drama,
during the glory, sang gloriously by the choir, down the aisle and around the place in the crib and the crest, we can say with all authenticity, He is also being born in the crib of my heart. This Christmas, more and more, He's born in me in a very different way, because I have been hungry to know the Lord Jesus. And that is the job of Advent. And also welcome to the new ecclesiastical year, along with our fiscal year, our calendar year, our school year, and all the years that we use throughout the year. We also have a church year, a liturgical year. And when I was in eighth grade, before I was confirmed, I had to stand before my Sunday school class and memorize all the seasons and the colors. Advent purple, Christmas white, Epiphany green, Lent purple, Easter white, and so forth. And it is a beautiful thing. The first half of the ecclesiastical year follows roughly the chronological life of Jesus, from Advent before His birth to the time of Pentecost. And the second half of the year we call, it's chock full of what we call faith speech. We understand the faith such as Corpus Christi, Trinity Sunday, the Assumption of Mary, All Souls, All Saints, and all the various other saints' days to help us understand our faith. And what the Christian year does for us is that it holds us accountable for the balance of formation, feasting and fasting and fasting and feasting. For instance, in the season of Lent, we have 40 days, difficult days, where we have to look in the mirror and say, what needs pruning in my life? We have to look at ourselves quite soberly. That would not be healthy 365 days of the year. And we know religious people who do that, and they become sick. The Christian year holds us in a balance. We do that, and then for 50 days, we celebrate, and we play, and we sing, and we rejoice. So you see, the Christian year is a balance of being bathed with the sacraments, bathed with the Word, bathed with Christian community, bathed with the beauty of the church, bathed with the music of the church. And in the bathing of all that, we're formed. In the Thanksgiving, Matthew used the example of the Grand Canyon. Millions and millions of years of these rocks and bathed with water slowly taking form. Well, we don't have millions of years. That's just a few decades of life. But the ecclesiastical year, through the season, through the accountability of the season, we are bathed and slowly we're formed and formed as we age more and more into the image of God. And then we live the life that we're meant to live. And what is the chief end of our humanity? Love God, serve God, and enjoy God forever. And it begins with accountability of this beautiful season of Advent. So welcome to Advent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.